It was a good year to stop human trafficking. Three bills initiated by the Pacific Alliance to Stop Slavery passed. Another one, which focused on child victims and was part of the governor's package, died. But in the never-really-over world of the legislature, that bill was revived. Catherine John is the executive director of the Pacific Alliance to Stop Slavery, and she joins us this morning. You know, when we talked, Catherine, right before the session opened, you had very high hopes. But it seems that they've been exceeded by what actually happened this past session.
Yes, we're very pleased. This was by far our most successful legislative session in the past 8 years of our policy change work there. And we feel that we've taken a big step towards addressing the ending of the demand for sex trafficking and prostitution and protecting our children.
Two of the bills specifically work with the end demand part of your agenda. Then there's the hotline posting, and at the very end, being able to revive that part for kids to have at least a partial safe harbor.
Yeah, it's a first step towards addressing the way our state treats juveniles at risk. And it was a really great incentive by the governor and the administration to revise the definition of harm in the child abuse statutes to include child victims of sex and labor trafficking, because the child abuse statutes historically only addressed familial or household member abuse, and it wasn't expansive enough. So we helped revive that piece of legislation from utter death, and so it was like the phoenix rising from the flames, because without that definition, it would have been exponentially harder for us to attack a more substantial systemic policy change next session.
Now you've got to raise some money to actually create a place where all this can happen.
Right, and that is a really critical need. There are so many children at risk in Hawaii, and since we don't have a sex trafficking statute, it's really hard to get the stats, but we see them as direct service provider for these children. And what happens is that we often have to look for facilities on the mainland to be able to take these children in and provide them the adequate residential treatment that includes mental health, and education. And we can provide that here in Hawaii, but for some reason, you know, that effort is slow in coming. But it's an absolute urgent necessity. If you look at some of the recent statistics and studies that have come out in the public light about what our juvenile justice system has been doing to children, nonviolent children of color that are status offenders, and by status offenses, I mean nonviolent crimes like runaways.
They ran away, and they were running away from something that wasn't so terrific.
You're absolutely right.
I mean, these aren't just kids who got angry and said, I'm going to run away from home. They were really running away from danger.
Right. So the juvenile justice system has historically blamed the victim, the child.
And criminalized the kid.
Right, for being a juvenile delinquent, quote unquote, because why should a child run away from home? Well, they must be doing something wrong, not the other way around. Kids run away for very good reasons, either through neglect or abuse, sexual abuse, and those things are not often talked about.
No, and for the kid to look at going out and being on his or her own on the streets and facing those kinds of potential dangers, that pales in comparison to what they think they already know, which makes it a reason for them to simply leave home. And, you know, you can go down to one of the Apple stores and just hang around and see some of the kids who kind of come in there and know. And I was there with one of my children who said to me, you know, we know some of these kids are homeless. And yet that's their way of being able to connect to other kids and other families and maybe find some little place where they might be able to stay.
Right. Kids in Hawaii who are homeless or repeat runaways, they're at high risk for sex trafficking, really high risk. And Hawaii has a very big problem with its homeless population amongst children. And typically we need to, I mean, we definitely, bottom line, need to revise the way and reform the way we treat this population, because incarceration and detainment is not an adequate resolution. What the incarceration system does is further not only criminalize these kids, but foster and promote antisocial and psychotic behavior. within that system, because the logic is if you put a child in incarceration and treat them really badly, they'll never want to come back
again.
They'll
hate it so much that they'll just say, I'm not going back there again. And that's a very infantile way of looking
right.
at it.
Right. It doesn't happen that way. What happens is that child comes out traumatized and therefore acts out based on very acute trauma sometimes of what she or he sustained in incarceration.
And perhaps more predisposed to being even more antisocial and having more issues that could have been taken care of if there were the right people there to help.
Right.
How many kids are we talking about in Hawaii?
It's
very hard to be able to get a number on that, but
we estimate as far as the high-risk victims for sex trafficking, about 100 a month are at high risk for sex trafficking, and of that, probably a quarter will be engaged in prostitution. Now, the way the state and federal law define children engaged in prostitution is that we don't blame the victim. We don't blame them. They're not child prostitutes, quote-unquote. They are victims of sex trafficking, because what we can attest to, the Pacific Alliance to Stop Slavery, absolutely 100%, there is no such thing as a child, quote-unquote, child prostitute in the streets of Waikiki. There's absolutely none. It is too territorial. It is too high profit for traffickers, and it's so easy for traffickers to manipulate and force, entice, not that that's a necessary element to prove sex trafficking, but to control these kids and make money for them.
So having said all of this, and now looking toward next session, you're already drafting legislation and looking at how you build on all of these 8 years that it's taken you to get to this point. What happens next year?
Next year, we're going to focus on the advertisements of brothels. the code word for these brothels are massage parlors, 24-hour massage parlors. Not all massage parlors, of course, but 24-hour ones and relaxation spas. They're openly advertising sex, you know, and they're doing so in very egregious pornographic ways. We're going to attack that, and we're also going to focus on providing services for especially child victims of sex trafficking. You know, that also covers adults, but, you know, specifically sex trafficked children, we've gotten a bad grade for addressing by Shared Hope. They gave us an F for addressing that through law.
Whereas we've gotten a pretty good grade for everything else, or as a whole.
Right. As a whole, Polaris Project, which is a national anti-trafficking advocacy group, policy group, ranked us pretty high, tier one. It's the best tier, the best ranking for a state with regard to overall laws focusing on the abolition of human trafficking. But when it comes to children, that's an F.
Exactly. What they told us when we talked to them, saying, you know, why aren't you looking at the issues surrounding children specifically? Well, obviously you are. Catherine John, thank you so much for coming in with the update, and we'll keep in touch.
Thank you, Bethann.
Catherine John is the executive director of the Pacific Alliance to Stop Slavery. Since 1999, she's been raising awareness of the trafficking of women and children for sex. In 2011, she successfully advocated for the introduction and passage of Hawaii's first labor trafficking state law. And this last session was her coalition's most successful to date, and already she's at work on bills for next year.